Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talk of Our New Humanity. This is Karina Stewart, your host, and we are joined today by Pamela Koyner. She is an executive leadership coach. I am so grateful she is here. Welcome, Pamela.
Well, thank you. I'm truly excited and honored to be on this show today.
All right. Well, you have a really depth of experience, and I want our folks to learn about you. Hold on one second. Actually, I just lost your bio. I've got too many. Oh, there we go. Here we go. Oh, no, that's not the right one. So sorry. I had it up, and it just escaped my view. There we go. Perfect. All right. Well, Pamela brings to the table her extensive hands-on experience as a professional consultant, trainer, coach, and facilitator, and what is this, the DISC practitioner? I'm not aware of what that is, Pamela.
That's probably one of the most, it's one of the most popular personality styles, how to learn what somebody's personality is.
Got
and it's through
you.
The four letters DISC, and it has a 98% accuracy rate.
Ooh.
Been around since the 1940s and was invented by a man by the name of William Marston, who invented the lie detector.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like that's something that all of us should be doing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun. I make sure it's fun.
All right. Well, as you can already tell, listeners, you will sense her joy when working with leadership and marvel at her years of expertise in and out of the boardroom. Pamela, she's really worked with some high-level folks at Nike, KPMG, the Oregon State Police, U.S. Department of Justice, the Republic of Kosovo, Trinidad West Indies government, and ministry and Coast Guard management teams. Wow, I mean, your executive coaching is really quite impressive. You know, when did you get started on that?
When I was two. That's just the only way to say it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've actually been coaching professionally I'm on my 12th year. And I've been in leadership development, facilitation, and all the other areas probably, well, for the last 40 years. So that's not fair. I'm just exposing my age.
Well, I'm really, really excited to have you here. And I know, you know, even more about your work is going to come out, but I want folks to know that your website is powerfulandtrue.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
Powerful and true.
Okay. So I really encourage everyone to go check that out, because that's how I found Pamela. And, you know, I'm on this project right now where I'm really looking for people who have, a powerful message right now about where we need to be going with our global financial system, with our personal finances, our personal relationship to money. What I was most excited about in encountering Pamela was this leadership piece. That just really struck me that, you're so niched into the coaching around leadership. And I thought, my goodness, like, isn't that what we need? We need leadership around bringing us into a better relationship with money that is healing, nurturing, provides more abundance for everyone. I know you and I have talked a bit offline about, leadership and money and how they go hand to hand. But what are, some of the thoughts that you have to share with us right off the bat about, where's the link between leadership and money?
Well, thank you. Thank you for turning that over to me.
You're welcome.
I'll tell you, Karina, what I was doing was I remember reading a marketing book written by T. Harv Eker. And he said, if you don't have a following and you don't have the results, like the money, mm-hmm. then you're mm-hmm. not a leader and you do not get it. And I remember I just cried and I went into a funk because I wasn't having results and I had a free following, but no one was really paying me money or willing to step up and realize that although I thought I had it, I still didn't. And so I did see that, you know, we can be leaders. And at the same time, to me, and what I'm learning is that money is a result or a manifestation of what you're doing, and lack of money is a result of underdeveloped or undiscovered leadership.
So I love underdeveloped, undiscovered leadership. And this is where you come from. I mean, I loved this phrase, to lead from within. So how does that work? How do we discover it?
Well, how do you discover it? Well, honestly, and I was listening to one of your interviews just that you had, I believe it was just yesterday or the day before, and with Jennifer Hoffman, and it was about the fact that you actually have all of that within you, and yet until you take action, and the thing is we're all taking action, we're doing something, it's just what is that action? And is it action that's taking us closer to our goal or leading us further away? So I am learning that every action we take comes from, so according to T. Harv Eker, which he was one of the mentors that I followed, he said, you know, you take action, but usually what happens is we have a thought. And when we think that thought, we go, okay, I'm going to take this action. And then when we take the action, we reap the results of that action, which is really the result of the thought. And he's saying sometimes that you may have thoughts that are not serving you. So you may have a negative thought or something like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if this person's going to buy for me. I don't know if I'm the right coach for them. I don't know if I can do this or that. Then we have a thought, and that thought comes through us and it becomes an action that somebody else reads, and we're giving off that action or that energy that says no. So for some reason, you're just not the right one for me.
Right.
I know, we're like,
right.
Oh, see? I knew it.
Yes.
So.
Oh my God. I'm really getting something here about this that is hooking up different ideas, linking them. This is cause and effect, right? This is the law of cause and effect. And what I'm hearing you say is lead your cause and effect, lead it.
Exactly. So you decide, okay, I'm taking the action. I'm taking the action that says, I've got this person. What would that happen? What would that look like? And when you start thinking about what that looks like, or I've got this thing, or my bank account is full of money, then what would I do? Well, the first thing I do is I'd go shopping, of course, you know, because I'm a woman and I love to shop, and I would take my daughters with me. And so we would all go shopping because, you know, and then I see this big joyful thing and it's like, oh yeah, you want that, get it. So here I'm all excited and now I have this energy that's coming out. And now when I talk to people, they sense my excitement because I'm shopping. In fact, here's one of my goals. Is to take both of my daughters with me to Italy to go shoe shopping. I just
and
do that.
That is just so beautiful. I mean, it's like, first of all, this is what's required, right? I mean, Jennifer Hoffman would probably echo this. You're really specific about it, right? Right? I mean, that's such a specific, clear, tangible desire. Yeah. I love it. And so
money,
to make it happen,
yes, it's a result of or manifestation of whatever it is that you're giving off. And sometimes we have a deep-seated fear. So here's something else. This is another way to look at this.
Yeah.
I have been struggling with this little tummy that's like followed me throughout my whole entire life, especially after having babies, but even before. And it was like I just didn't know how to get rid of the tummy until I got really, really sick. And so I was so sick that I lost all fat, everything. And now I loved the way my body looked, but I didn't like the way I felt. Mm-hmm. So it was like, there has to be something that I can do. There has to be something different.
Yeah.
And so I realized that every time I would look at myself and I would see that tummy, I would get depressed in a little tiny place.
Mm-hmm.
So that little tiny, it's still there, would actually trigger in my mind. I would always see myself with that little tummy. I couldn't get rid of that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So trust me, I have been working on that as much as I have been working on the money. And by the way, I am well exceeded the money part. So now it's getting to the tummy part to me, which is even deeper because it's been with me longer, is loving that tummy.
Yeah.
And coming from a place of, oh, you know, you're okay. And the two of us, you know, we can live together and it's okay for some of this fat around you to go. It's okay.
Yeah.
I invite you to. I welcome you. And how would I feel when that is, you know, flatter? How would I feel? And so now, again, I'm getting that place. It's like I'm taking my daughters to Italy with a flat stomach, with a beautiful figure. I'm speaking in front of rooms with a beautiful, you know, I just see myself like that. So the more I do it, all of a sudden, yesterday, my husband said, do look thinner. what a dream. So now once somebody says it and recognizes it, now you can even go deeper because now we're starting that paradigm shift. We're starting to believe it. We're buying into it. Other people are believing our paradigm. They're buying into it. And now we get into it deeper and deeper.
I love this. And, you know, at the core of all of these cause and effect relationships we're talking about, it always seems to come back to self-love, that fully accepting and loving oneself, whether it's the money piece or the body piece.
Mm-hmm.
Or valuing your work, you know, your creations, your whether it's art or, you know, as a coach, whatever it is, you know, that confidence and self-esteem coming from self-love, which, you know, is one of the themes, you know, of this summit, which I want to give a plug for because I forgot to do it in the beginning. If you're interested in hearing more of these type of interviews, just sign up at thekeystofinancialfreedom.com. And from there, you'll get the opt-in page to sign up, and you'll start receiving daily emails that run through October 25th. But yeah, love, you know, that fully and accepting of oneself, you know, I think the reason why it's important to note this is that, you know, yes, you know, you'd love to go shopping in Paris with your daughters for shoes and, you know, like what you see in the mirror, but this is not a superficial thing. This is actually about love.
Mm-hmm.
And you getting to that event represents, meaning that when you have embodied that, it represents you being in a deeper, more fully realigned embodiment of your self-love.
That was beautiful. That was really nice, Karina. Very
Thank
nicely
you.
Captured.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you dug out of it because, you know, you heard the underlying message. And that is, you know, whatever it is I'm doing it because I love it and I love the people I'm with. And when that is part of what it is I do, then all of a sudden I'm going to reap those rewards and results.
Exactly.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, in the way that I see it is that, right, I mean, we have, again, this is the cause and effect that you're talking about, you know, the thoughts that we're having are then creating the results. And, you know, there are infinite possibilities, right? There are infinite possibilities of what we can experience. And what we're experiencing is the result of
You know, I say it's really the degree to which we love ourselves.
It helps. Yeah, to me, it's a huge, huge piece. It's you know, I'm still trying to figure out if that's the only key. However, I do know that it
right.
is probably the biggest key.
Yeah.
And love is huge. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
is what makes the world go around. We know
it,
that.
It truly
so.
Is. Yeah, it is. And we are. We're all on a journey in this, you know, mystery. of life and you know, kind of what are the answers. But it's an interesting theme that keeps coming up in the summit,
mm-hmm.
You know, that full acceptance of oneself. But, you know, I do, because you are, your work is with so many, you know, leaders that are in very visible companies, you know, leaders of governments. I would love to segue us into, you know, something that did come up in the summit. It's coming later on. I think it's with Natalia's interview.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this idea of a love leadership versus a control leadership. And I can tell you what I understood about that, and I would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, where you see us going in that evolution. You know, that perhaps currently what is most visible in our politics, in some corporations, you know, what we think of as leadership is more of a coming from a control consciousness, a control paradigm where it's, you know, control over the work, control over the people. You know, I mean, control sounds like such a heavy word, but you know, like hierarchical, I would almost say, you know, this sort of hierarchical type of leadership versus the love leadership. You know, I think maybe we're just beginning to even put some language around what that might be, but that is being a leader that inspires others to, you know, lead from within, to find their, you know, inner innovation, their inner gift, and that it's ultimately the inspiration that a love leader may spark in others. And yes, there are decisions and actions to make out of that type of leadership, but it's not one that necessarily, it's in those decisions and in those actions, others actually shine brighter. That's kind of my take. What are your thoughts, and what are you seeing, you know, on the pulse of leadership globally, or even just in this country, in the United
you know,
States.
yeah. Okay, I'll limit it to no. Leadership is everywhere. It's worldwide. It's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't need leadership until you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So people are doing what they're doing until they need somebody to follow. And they follow
Got
people
it.
Because those people inspire them or make them feel better or
yep.
or they motivate them. Sometimes it's
mm-hmm.
not even a positive leadership situation.
Yeah.
It's just that they're
okay.
motivated or they feel like this person has direction and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So leadership is not always, I mean, we will refer to this as positive. At the same time, if you're, you know, if somebody's leading a gang, that's a leader.
Right.
And so all kinds of things, positive or negative, can show up in leadership. So,
mm-hmm.
and that becomes the challenge here, is because what you're talking about is love leadership, is that my understanding, if I were leading from a point of love, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
I would see that person, I would see the very best for them, I would want the very
right.
best for them, I would do whatever I could to
mm-hmm.
see them show up. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes when you work with people in love, that doesn't mean you do what they want or expect.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, let's just hold hands and skip through work or skip through,
right.
you know, the
mm-hmm.
situation. It may be, all right, you have to take charge. You have to decide what you're going to do, and then you do it. Or it may be, okay, I'm going to give you the space right now to fall on your
mm-hmm.
face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the space to do whatever it is, because when you really are looking at somebody else's best interest, which I would actually like to use I'm thinking of the word for love. There's two words that I'm familiar with in Greek, and one is phileo, Philadelphia. That's brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's agape love, which is the love of God. And that is more of a renewed mind. It's like you see people and you love them in spite of themselves. So when you look at love, it's like sometimes the bigger love is to love people in a way that's going to allow them to fall so that they step up, so that they can see things. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think perhaps one of the most relatable instances of that is, you know, in being a mother or a father, right, to children. We do that, right? And you know, sometimes we have to, you know, set limits and guide our children so they don't get hurt. And at the same time, we learn when to step back so they learn on their own. And that's always this very, you know, it's fluid how that shifts with each situation. And but again, I can see this, you know, I'm so curious, you know, what do you think it requires of one to get to that level of mastery around leadership, because I can really feel what you're talking about, which is, it feels very intuitive to me, which is different than, you know, perhaps some of the other models of leadership that are out there. You know, we could also go here as sort of a feminine versus masculine form of leadership, and I don't mean gender, I just mean in, you know, feminine to me being intuitive, sensing, that emotional intelligence. Masculine being the, you know, take action, take steps, have a system, follow it, you know. Thoughts on, you know, where's the balance between that and how do we, you know, how does one sort of step more deeply into that role of, you know, mastering this loving leadership?
You know, my company is called Powerful and True. And the reason why is because I have learned throughout my short life that when the only time when you're really in your power is when you're in your truth, your absolute truth. And when you are lined up with that truth, then power just manifests. It's just it's a no-brainer. It's an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
So we have leadership styles, and I'm going to say I'm going to list many of the popular leadership styles. We have Lewin's leadership from the 1930s, autocratic, democratic, laissez-faire. We have Blake Mouton, managerial grid, with people-oriented versus task-oriented, which comes with a lot of the from the DISC, which is what I was talking about, the personalities. We have the PATH goal theory, and that's highly capable people assigned a complex task that needs different leadership than people with a lesser ability. We have the six leadership styles from Goleman, and he's emotional intelligence guy, and he talks about visionary, coaching, affiliative, democratic, pace setting, and commanding, and how it affects the emotions of team members. The leadership has been studied from so many different ways. We have the Flamholtz and Randall's leadership style matrix, and that's, you know, can a person work on their own, and how creative or programmable is the task. And then we have transformational leadership, which is probably the most current one, and that is integrity, emotional intelligence, motivational, and being great communicators, great conflict resolution skills, inspirational, and expecting the best from everyone and holding themselves accountable for their actions. The thing is these are all man-made, man-decreed, laid-out systems that have logic in them.
Yep.
So there is no one-size-fits-all, except for if you were to truly lead from pure love, from the absence of fear, from the absence of a need to control, Mm-hmm. And it's more to know exactly what is needed in that moment. So now we're leading by spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and for me, it's Holy Spirit. You know, I'm leading mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. pure inspiration. Mm. All of a sudden, I'm going to step into every one of those styles at any given time. Because if we're having a fire, I'm going straight into autocratic. I'm going to say, you, move over there. You're out the door. You call 911. You do this. I'm just going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, if I'm in a meeting and I see someone make a sarcastic comment and it totally takes out that person and five other people now are upset and worried about that person, we've lost the meeting.
Right.
So it's showing compassion and balancing the power in the room. And, I mean, all of these leadership styles step up. And the more you're aware of them and you understand them, you have this programmed knowledge. It's just, when do I tap into it? And that, to me, is your truth.
Whew. Wow. That was a sermon. That really, honestly, I have goosebumps. I completely flowed through the movement of everything you just said there. I mean, it took me to the next evolution of leadership. It reminds me of, right, it's presence, being in the now, allowing the inspiration to be as it shows up in the moment. And there's, like you said, that's the truth. So what's true in that moment is where you act from, where you lead from. And when it's when the control piece is gone, right? Because then the inner voice is no longer trying to, change what you're doing. You just step right into being that powerful, transformative, Holy Spirit led leader. I mean, wow, seriously.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It's
available.
Absolutely. And this is what I'm talking about, love money, right? The idea that we could, because I see a connection between the two, which is that when we can lead from this, I'll call it a presence, right? When we lead from this presence, then our companies shift, right? Our companies shift, our families shift.
Yes, they do.
Our communities shift, and therefore the embodiment of our money transforms into being ultimately filled up with that spirit as well.
Exactly.
It all flows, and it serves, what I would call this higher love vibration. And we can be of even greater service to more people, and, it's this beautiful, beautiful ripple. Wow. Well, this 30 minutes has flown by. We just have about a minute and a half.
Oh, my.
Yes. So, Pamela, I want to make sure everyone knows how to get in touch with you to, continue this conversation and work with you. What's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, I do not offer sessions with me for free. Unless I choose that person. It's like, okay, my choice. I would, let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been thinking about this and I thought, well, I'm going to put this out there because when people are listening to this, they're motivated, then we've already connected.
Right.
And so if you go to Powerful and True, that's www.powerfulandtrue.com/breakthrough, book a session with me. I would be honored to have a conversation with you because we connect. And if we connect, then you've got a leadership. You're supposed to lead. You're supposed to be in front of people. So let's make that happen.
Awesome. Well, I thank you for making that offer to our listeners. And I really encourage everyone to do that. Take that step. Take that action today. Well, thanks so much, Pamela.
This was a wonderful conversation, and I hope to do it again soon. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've so enjoyed it. And Karina, you really are. You're on a beautiful path. I love it.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to seeing your progress, and you are getting results. Trust that.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will have another episode in our series coming up next week. Take care, everyone.